county belt or something of that quirk, that it must be cleared with you. And I expected that's what John would do.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he had, and he said yes. So I didn't pursue it further, but when you talk to the captain, I think I've got to know you pretty well. I can read, I think, fairly well where you're going. It didn't seem to me that you had this in mind at all. And we also talked to Milton Friedman that same week, you and all the time. And he had talked to the night before at my house. And he tried to bring this up, and you didn't respond, and I didn't know.
I didn't.
Well, I sort of surmised that probably he had talked about it with you, but perhaps not in a way that could bring out its real significance, so that you focus in on it. So then I started tracking the speech. John was very busy meeting with people, so I called over with tracking the speech.
Yeah.
But Paul was not surprised
of your efforts,
of these other efforts, and Penny was monitoring that. And Paul had a different idea entirely. So then I had to get into the speech via the council and my own efforts. But the speech didn't come out that way at all. Now, it's a perfectly good speech. Now, I think it would have been helpful to speak that. But it did not express this policy. And now people feel that maybe it isn't such a good policy. Well, I still feel it is. But that's not the point. I think what that shows is that our process didn't work itself properly for you. And then, assuming that you had, if you had truly approved this, then it would be a must to be in that speech,
or else you change your mind again,
one or the other.
Sure.
And I am a little in the dark at how much you want me to come in and see you about this sort of thing, because I don't want to in any way intrude on John's territory here. So I basically sort of laid back and I don't sort of him individually.
The problem that we have here is this, working directly. We have a problem which on the Peterson side, which we have to face up to, the Peterson cannot do the common thing. Doesn't mean he's ruled out of that, but I guess he can, but you can. But I think that what I'd like for you to do is to, and second, because you know more about the subject, I'd like for you to grab a hold of it and start a movement. I understand, I don't care if you tell me the credit. I mean, you can get it, after you worked out the time we got through with it, and they were the ones who take the credit for everything, which is fine.
I'm suggesting is that if not, at least some of your meetings are done where you're going to discuss it. If I sit in without wanting to intrude on all your discussions there, but when it's on this, that might be a useful thing. Because now
we don't know
whether or not these things have been cleared and in what form, or if I feel they aren't really being made clear, I can help do that. That might be a worthwhile decision.
We can do that. But I think the problem is how do we work it out so that Peterson is not going to feel this. I'll tell you the way we will do it. I'll get the Connelly comes in. I assume he's going to want to talk about a lot of things tomorrow on his trip. I don't imagine he's going to have a lot of things about this.
I don't know. He thinks a lot.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what
he hasn't indicated to me yet that he has a position on as to what we ought to do.
Well, I think our problem is that
where does it stand
in the Treasury and in the Federal Reserve, you have the people who are essentially in the background of the former policy, and Volcker epitomizes that. A little bit, the weekend at the Fed, and epitomizes that. They're the two people who go around and represent us everywhere. And they sit astride the staff room. Now, that is tough on John because he's a very tough guy within his organization and tells him. Nevertheless, it's hard to break open something that is fundamentally not looking at it your way.
In other words, you think he's just going to reflect what they want.
He tries hard not to. But the whole gold thing, which is not a big issue, it was, the Citizens Private Party came in by itself, side thing, and I went to him and I said, here's this thing, and apparently it would please some people on the right that seem to have a problem connected with it. And if we could get that tested out and ready to present to use it in some sufficient time. Well, I've been able to break that out of the Treasury bureaucracy. And Volcker, I know this from Joe and the red line, Volcker has given a message to the lawyer. central, decisive issue is what goes under the name of convertibility. That is, in the old system, we were committed, even if we didn't quite live up to it, to convert dollars into gold at $35 an ounce. And the central question is whether or not we are going to get recommitted to give some scarce commodity, gold, or so-called paper gold, or special drawing rights, but defined as there's only a certain number of them. Some scarce commodity to dollar. As soon as we agree to do something like that, in whole, in some limited fashion, then we have put a constraint on our domestic economic policy, or even a hostage to international problems. And the international problems can force us to change in order to acquire more of these special drawing rights or gold or whatever it may be to our balance of payments. As long as we do not have to convert, then the fact that we may have a heavy balance of payments debt, we can say, well, I'm concerned about it, but that's the other guy's problem too, and if he doesn't like it, our dollar is, we're not supporting it because of any other currency at any other level. It can change. And that's essentially what's been happening. As soon as we go back to convertibility, then we're essentially back to some version of the old system. So I think that's a critical issue, convertibility. Now, it's related to the other issues of flexibility in exchange rates versus the fixed system. If you have a completely flexible set of exchange rates, then changes in those prices of currency bypass the need for any convertible goods, because you automatically adjust your balance of payments by the changes in the prices of the currency, and you handle the problem that way, and it doesn't exchange on your domestic costs. That's why most economists, even both Samuelson and Friedman on occasion, will argue that flexible exchange rates are a good system, because it freezes the bonding and agreement on something of that kind.
What domestic policy is effective to have? Do you mean quotas or?
If you have fixed parity and you can't change them very easily, and you begin to get a run such that there's pressure on your gold supply or your SDR supply or something like that, you just have to say to yourself, well, how am I going to change the attractiveness of U.S. goods in comparison with other
goods? Export more, import less.
Well, no, but you have to ask yourself, how am I going to do that? And the only way you can do it under those circumstances is to get your prices down. And so you say, I must control my inflation better relative to the other guy. And but he had a good staff down at the GS-15 or so level. But he has, I would feel nervous if I were me and not having people that I have brought in and knew and were first quality people
at the upper level.
At the upper level of the running department. But,
I urge him if he came in, it might change the way.
He has made a few hires, both hires people now, he is not a good fellow. He's a guy that I've never met in the possibility.
Let me ask a couple of other questions now. We'll come to that. Let's leave that point for a moment. We will brace Tom directly on that tomorrow.
Can I make one comment on the price of gold before we leave this channel subject? I personally would be reluctant to see an increase in the price of gold because it seems to me you're saying that you must have convertibility in mind. Else why would you be worried about the official price of gold? There's a free market price of gold that fluctuates around, so what? If you change the official price of gold, there must be a reason somehow connected with convertibility. I think that's the basic.
How I argue for it.
Now, people say, Arthur will say, and others will say, well, why not increase the price of gold, but maintain that you're not going to convert?
What are you doing?
And so you say, well, why do it? Well, because of bookkeeping things that particularly the Europeans are interested in.
Oh, yeah, because they have common, that's right, because to them, gold is a mistake.
Well, it's as though you have all these Frenchmen who have $4 billion worth, or however many francs that is, talking away in their mattresses on the notion that the franc and gold have a certain relationship, or gold has a certain value. So if you want to devalue the dollar with respect to the franc, you have to do it by changing the relationship of the dollar to gold, so that the franc can stay in the same relationship. If the franc revalued with the dollar thought of as being worth $35 an ounce, then gold is worth less, an ounce of gold is worth less in terms of the franc. So they have that political problem. So there's a big bookkeeping operation that's involved here that is said to be of great interest to the Europeans. And if it were really that, and that's all, why I suppose we could say, well, all right, that's a total baloney, and if that really helps, then fine. But it just seems to me that it's going to get wrapped into convertibility sooner or later. And I think that's the danger point of it.
There's our point is that we just won't need, we should build a system without convertibility.
We possibly can, and there are ways of doing it. I think, I don't pretend to be an expert on this, but I've been searching into it, and I think that's a good position. But I also think that it's time for us to try to work things out, that things have been drifting long enough.
Right.
And they're going to solidify against us if we aren't careful.
And what?
There'll be things solidifying against us, and there'll be a lot of misunderstanding about what it is we're really after around, and we would be well off to have a good strategy session with you and lay down some points, and I'll try to get them.
Are you ready to run through?
Let me look at what Peterson has produced.
Your own
team.
Well, let me see what, when I see Connell, I was thinking it's
we have a big meeting with you.
Tomorrow. Is that tomorrow? Your job?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
first two quarters.
There's got
GMT. And then the money supply.
Levels off.
Levels off. You can see what it was doing on the weekly figures in this period. That's down. Now you can see what's happening. If even this rate of change were to continue, he'd have to have his quarterly average be up in there someplace. Well, with this much in the bin, it's almost impossible to have to go way up in here in order to obtain that. So that represents a real worry to the extent that this short-term move on is quick on. That's the weekly, you see. Now that can bounce back, but that's a big bounce.
Here's
the way that has been going. Here's a slightly, this is with no lags or anything. And again, this is the money supply, this is the GMT, and these are the same quarters going right along with each other. Again, I think, here's where I disagree with Milton. Milton says the money supply doesn't have an impact until you have about a 9 month lag or so. Well, that doesn't look like any lag model to me. And this is an exaggeration because of the strike, the auto strike, probably would have been more like that. But again, you can see this.
Couple of hiccups now.
Well, that is the problem.
Well, with regard to that, with regard to this situation, I become a more fundamental one. To what extent is Connolly on top? We have had quadri, I think, for a while. We opened them, and we have apparently been wanting to let go of the right time. And second, it comes to the care and feeding of our thing. Now, I should not take Arthur on if I know what the hell we want to tell him.
Right, and I want to find out before I get myself all set.
Well, we also got to find out what Conley's going to do. Everybody's got to do as well, because Arthur should tell us what he wants to do.
Arthur's got plenty of ideas. He's very persistent. He's smart. Worth listening to. I think he spent a lot of time on this money supply. There are two.
Well, I think two of the people on this board who do not have our interest in mind, playing with vanity mate. Moving it down, he may not be running it as much as he thinks he is.
Right. And one line of argument, the one that Milton Friedman gave you in the office that day, is that now that the Fed thinks there is some machinery to deal with wages and prices in inflation, they can afford to be expansive on the money supply in order to encourage expansion and so on. And therefore, what all this machinery and everything is going to result in is a big boom and inflation that may just get completely out of hand after your reelection, and then you'll have to put in more control. So on that would be the nice way. Now the other way of looking at it is that it may go just the reverse, that Arthur describes himself as the architect of everything that was done apparently this year. Reader's Digest report. And therefore he wants to be
think they better feed more money in. Now, Friedman's argument has always been, and I think he's right about this, that that's not the right way to look at it. That you should be watching the money supply and not the interest rate, and just keep feeding in a good, strong, steady pace of increase in the money supply.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't good.
confirmed?
Which makes it difficult for them to have a start making agreements, if there's some bilateral agreements.
I'm for it.
I think that's going to crack this thing open.
Well, that shows movement, too.
But I think it's also important, if we're going to go down this track, which is basically the Kissinger McCracken Mandel group, to somehow get it out that we're open for all comers.
The thing that I like about the Japanese is it breaks them off from Europeans. And also it plays with Japan, they kind of at a time basically when they did something for us. Something they owed us, but nevertheless they did it. You're damn right, said this cup. And I'd like also for Collins, for his token, his international deal that he did. To be the architect of this, this would be helpful. I don't want Arthur Burns getting his hands messed up in that one. Speaking as one who knows nothing about any of the technical subjects, I would begin with this. I don't want the domestic policy of the United States to be affected by this outmoded system of our United States taking responsibility for international stability. Second, I think that the terms of raising the price of gold and everything is absolutely silly. We have heard reasons that have nothing to do. First of all, you've got to get legislation. And I don't think you can get it. I don't think we want to do it. It's too damn complicated to go down that road. And I think the moment you start down that road, there's enormous speculation to get it from a lot of other people. He's just wrong. And also, I'd like to, for other reasons, to do that. I just laugh harder at this time. He didn't want to go this way. Yeah, I agree with you, too, that moving in that direction is getting a little pregnant. You're going to question it, say it for various reasons, Europeans believe it and all that. To hell with it. Let's do it our way this time. Let's show some independence. Let's show that we are playing all countries. Third thing is that I would like to see is be able to develop very, very soon something for the Latin Americans. I'd like to add a name. Is there a way we can split them off?
This idea that we have developed, and we can bring that staff right after the sun, would fit the Canadian region. Any of them do have a clean float already. And at least John has said they're willing to work out some of these problems without any auto agreements with other people. It would be nice to get something in the way of an oil agreement so that we can get that part of the problem. But anyway, the Canadians are not too good at go. I think if we are willing to work out it, the Japanese are not too good at going at this point. I don't see any reason why we can't work out something with the less developed countries and probably Latin America.
Just do it. Work out something.
It isn't, hell, it isn't beyond the stretch of imagination that in some way or another we could work out a deal with Germany.
A separate deal?
There are some real complications. And the way this has gotten into the public has been bad from that standpoint because the Germans don't know quite what's going on. And they're in a difficult way with the French because they trade more with France than anybody else. And that's why it's so difficult for them to devalue in the French art. But even so, you might be able to work out something with them that's in tandem with the
Japanese. Because
the Germans are very conscious of the American market and their relationship with the Japanese and the American market.
Incidentally, Japanese candidates that understand on the Federal Reserve and people who will stand up and people that are
German's down at the business council, and the lobby of the hotel, among the some reporters, and the shockwaves from that.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, he indicated that we might be able to cut the deal with the Germans separately.
Oh.
And he did that sort of offhandedly in a sort of a hidden miss press conference in the lobby. Superb ambassador to China. Have you ever had an ambassador to China?
I haven't.
kind of diagonal.
He's what, 45 maybe?
Berger. We're having to move him from side on. That'll worry. We're giving him a high number. He won't be hurt there. Enable call.
White is the best part of that operation.
I think you're right. I'll also try to move on. That's probably the way these things work. Maybe people get worried and everybody gasses around and finally got to get down. But you got to get Connelly pinned down. I guess I'll just hold Wednesday the whole that day. We're working on this, this situation. As a way of handling this situation, would you, John, tell this part, Arthur opposed.
truck supply. Never saw it, but I talked to John about it. And he sounded awfully good to bring you here about it. And I then met him on the day of the appointment, and I felt that he was fine as they had discussed it. But he has a very cozy man.
What's the cozy?
He put it on.
I have read his background.
He's a presiding judge of the Federal District Court in my hometown.
Well, you thought
it. No, sir, I did not. But I know him for 20 years.
He's a good man.
Yeah. All right, tough as hell.
That's all we need. And incidentally, you see, so often we are taken in by these showboats, and they aren't the guys that can produce. I think one thing that's turned out well up to this point is Rumsfeld.
Yeah,
Rumsfeld was making
maintenance.
Powell is a very good, Powell is such a, he's a real elegant guy, reckless, will probably be one of the great judges. Young enough, and certainly helpful.
The associate dean of Stanford Law School was in the seat last week, with a smile from ear to ear, that this is the first seat on the Supreme Court for Stanford Law School. He said, just think of all the clerks we're going to have.
Great. Is that right?
Oh, they're terrifically doing it.
Even though he's a conservative?
Oh, yeah. The whole Stanford establishment is just beaming over this.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. They're really great. They're excited.
Yeah, and claimed by Lynn Holt, who called me up and said, hot dog, I got two justices.
Well, that guy was from Arizona.
Yeah.
Born in Milwaukee.
Born in Milwaukee. Went to school in California. Now practicing in Arizona.
Yeah. Lives in Virginia. And we only left out two East States.
That's what you have to do. You've got to go through all those numbers. And finally, it comes down. That's pretty good. We're on the board, on the Federal Reserve. That's helpful. One reason I still get caught on that, I actually want a name. I figured you have it. That he's for easy money. So am I. And I sure as hell am. I know we've got the problem with inflation and all the rest of it. Let's worry about it. Something about the jobs. Well, Arthur will see that when I talk. I got to talk to him again. He does like to make himself as being a political man.
Sure does.
All right.
He, everybody must recognize that we're thinking about getting a good extension.
He knows that. Got to have it. Well, I may be a. Maybe the least qualified to know. But I'm not as bearish guard on that expansion thing, so. I mean, the third quarter was disappointing. I had maybe a number of reasons for it. Shout out to
Sir.
Huh?
This is Charles. You can give me an idea.
Mr. Hop happened to it. But on the other hand, I think it's going to move. I don't know why.
There's
still the inventory boom.
Additional.
They're still buying power.
Buying power.
The tax may bill pass will do something for it.
But
money supply is the biggest.
Performance on the money supply. After all, we don't need a spectacular.
Arthur, did Arthur admit that he's got so much money supply like that?
Well, yeah, he said that he had a strategy, and he was just trying to tell me what it was, and he got interrupted.
We might do this in terms of a quandary activity before. This telling pose. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Let me see if I can.
I'd rather not get that in the car.
Let me see what I told Arthur.
Where Arthur is saying, see, we really are doing something in the money supply that people are coming from. So that these, what I meant is, so that input gets in there. So maybe the quadrant element to consider that.
Let me see what Arthur is saying.
Well, I've got to take off, I guess. 5:06, you've all worked on that.
All right.
Tomorrow is 10.
Excellent,
10.
He may bring.
I guess everybody figured he praised the Greeks.
It's a popular conception. He may bring up the Office of Intergovernmental Relations.